Praise God. Amen. So let me jump in here and just kind of share that which I've heard, this word increase. And God, you know, there's some things that it's increasing personally, but we all know this, that the return of Christ is imminent. It's so close you could reach out and touch it. It's that close. And so we know through those that have prophesied down through the years that there's going to be a great awakening, a great revival, a great influx into the church. That's increase, but it's going to require all of us to increase in whatever we're doing, to be what? On post, to be prepared, to be ready to do what? Participate in receiving those that come in, to be used by God. So we can't just go, well, it can't be just church as usual anymore. No. We've got to do what? Increase in our doing. I don't care whether you're 5 years old or you're 95. If you got breath, you're here. You can work, you can do something. And this is what we're talking about. God is saying, increase. And you all know this. I mean, when I look back, and every one of us in this room, if I asked you, you know, your life story, you'd all say, well, you know, how did you get to where you're at right now? Well, it took steps to get to where you are. It took steps of courage. It took steps where your education is concerned. It took steps to get where you are to be used. But if you had just stayed where you are, you wouldn't have gotten there, would you? And we all know that. You look back sometimes and you go, wow, God's using all that I was exposed to in life to do something. To do what? Help people. Yes. Not just for me. We get blessed, but it's to help people in the natural. How much more in the church? And I am not here at all to say that we're not doing. This church is a supernatural church. What we get done in the natural, financially and just with the help, is supernatural. So I am not here to say that, you know, this is a plea or anything. But what God is doing is he's pleading by his Spirit to say, I've used you. I want to do more through you. That's what God is saying. He wants us to increase. Increase in our doing, increase in our word, you know, use of the word, increase of the gifts of the Spirit operating through us, increase in our giving, increase in our time. Because God blesses the sower. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Well, I want to reap bountifully. So what does that mean? I'm going to do more. I'm going to give more. Give more of my time. Give more. I'm laying all the cards out. That's it. Nothing held back. You know, you see these Olympic athletes, what do? They lay it all on the line. They do whatever it takes to reach that goal. Well, that's what Paul said. He said, I don't look back, but I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. We have to do the same. And we might be stretching, but God is saying, stretch a little more. Stretch just a little bit more. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's not only going to be uncomfortable physically, but it's going to be uncomfortable to your soul. because your soul's saying, man, I'm doing it more? What, are you kidding me? I heard years ago, Brother Copeland said, the Lord said, I want you to go do this. He said, why me? You keep giving me stuff to do. He said, because I'm asking others to do it and they won't. And I still need to get it done. So those that yield, say yield, you're going to get more. And when you get more, you reap more. Yeah. When you get more and you obey, you reap more. You reap more of the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So say increase. I'm going to increase. Increase in my doing in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Does that register with you?
Yes.
Registers with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, a lot you can't use this, you can't use this saying, well, you know, I just don't have anything. If you're born again, you've got the greater one in you. You've got the life of God in you. And John says in the book of, in the Gospel of John, it says, the life is the light that lighteth all men. And he gave us all a command to go into all the world and make disciples of all men. And he didn't say, oh, just the apostle and prophet and evangelist and pastor and teacher was to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, or they were the only ones to lay hands on the sick and cast out devils. No, that's all of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to increase because God has been watching this camp, this body, and is pleased, and he gives more, just like those with the talent. He says, here, you've done well. Here's another talent. I don't want to be like in Revelation where he says, I'm going to take that down. I'm going to take the anointing away from your church. No. He's wanting to give us more responsibility. You know, I spent some time, I do it every once in a while, but I'll go through and read some of the prophecies that have been given to this church through various individuals, men and women of God. And I read them because every time I read them, I see something different. You know, you can read it and then you go, it hits you different. And God, in these things, I remember when I was reading last night, Brother Copeland was sharing something, gave a word to Pastor Clinton. This was way back in the early 80s. We have some of these transcribed. And he said, God has given you this whole area. Like men of old. He said, he's given you the area. See, that didn't change because he went home to be with the Lord. That didn't change. He's given him, but he was the head. Well, he's given us the area. We can't go to sleep. He can't go to sleep. We're going to increase. We're going to increase in our doing. Two things, always remember this, two things where the church is concerned. Evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism and discipleship. And we have to do both. You have to evangelize and you have to disciple. And disciple can be within the church. And the discipleship is to what? Raise up men and women of God so they go out and it does what? It reproduces. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to increase in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So one of the things that just, you know, and these blessings have been afforded to each one of us because of the shed blood of Jesus. And that blood has brought us into the family of God and washed us white as snow. And we've been what? Delivered from the power of darkness. And we've been translated and ushered into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of his dear son. So we've got things to do. Amen. And we've been what? Set free. We've been delivered from the curse of the law. So if you've been delivered from the curse of the law, we don't go backwards. We increase. We increase. And there's nothing that can stop the increase. If you sow, you know, your harvest, just think about this, your harvest doesn't get confused. If you sow sparingly, don't expect to reap abundantly. And if you sow abundantly, don't expect to reap sparingly. Expect to reap abundantly if you're sowing abundantly. Expect it. And don't put time frames on things. God's word will come to pass. What does he say? He said, as the rain cometh down, what does Isaiah say? As the rain cometh down and the snow and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and does what? Makes it bring forth and bud, right? Let me get over here and read it. That it may do what? It buds for what purpose? That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And then it goes on, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall what? Accomplish which I please, and it shall prosper. Increase. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, think about this. When we talk about increase or we talk about harvest, and, you know, we could go 99 different ways. I'm just sharing a little bit from my heart because it's been in my heart for a bit. But when you want increase, if you're a farmer or you're a planter or you like gardening, there's a set time to plant. If you're going to reap something, you don't just decide to plant whenever you want, do you? There's an opportune window. There's a window that you have to plant in order to reap so that all the conditions are right. You don't go out when the ground's too hard, when it's frozen. You don't go, let's throw some seed. You won't get anything. There has to be an opportune time or an opportunity to sow seed. And that's the same whether it's natural or spiritual. And God is giving us opportunities to sow. Sow our time, sow our money, sow our influence. He's giving us opportunities, and if we miss those opportunities, sometimes they don't come around again. They don't come around. So that's why when you hear of opportunities, it's like, yes, sir, I'm jumping in. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do it. Because God wouldn't prompt you to do it if you didn't have it. Just think, if you didn't have two nickels to rub together, you've got time. You have time. I need a tissue. Somebody could roust one up for me. Thank you. Appreciate it. So we all have time, right? And we all have, you know, I was looking this up yesterday, or late last night, I was looking it up. I was just curious. If you look, what is considered rich? I'm talking about monetarily, monetary richness. This is an interesting thing. When we talk about being rich in the United States, that can go, you know, they say, I think the average might be somewhere around 50,000. I think somewhere around there, they say, okay, that's just average. But if you talk about being wealthy rich, they said that it's about $6.8 million. That's rich. Okay. And you say, that's all right. You know, you can reach that. Nothing is impossible with God. The problem is that God said he'll bless the sower, not the saver. And yet there's nothing wrong with saving, because I think we all should save some. But he said he blesses the sower. Now listen, I thought this was interesting. What do you think in the world? I'm talking about the world. What is considered rich in the world? Anybody know what that figure is? Tell me what you think it is. Now, this is in the world now. All the countries. I'll throw it out. I saw $10,000 and I saw $32,000. That's about the height of it. And I read it in another book. Somebody's book said $35,000. $35,000. That's considered rich. Rich in the world. So when you look at other countries, you look at China, you look at, they said rich in China is $10,000. Rich. I'm talking about rich, like somebody who has $6 million here, they say 30-some thousand dollars in the world is considered rich. So really, we're rich with our resources. Some may have a little more than others. And some that have come from foreign countries know exactly what I'm talking about. So God is looking for all of us to use our time, our faculties, our influence to come in and do what? Bless. To use it to bless, to help. Hallelujah. Listen to this scripture. I thought this was interesting. And again, I'm still talking about increase. But I thought this was interesting in Proverbs, kind of jumping ahead here a little bit, but Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24, talking about increase. And God's way to increase. But Proverbs 11:24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now listen to this in the Message translation, this particular verse. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So God is looking for us not to be stingy with our talents, stingy with our resources, stingy with our time. You know, I don't have time to do that. Or, you know, the proverbial, I'll think about that. God will add to those. You know, what I find is, I remember when I came to work here in this ministry, I had a good job, and the Lord had been prompting me to leave. I had a choice to make at that point. And I could have stayed, but I said, nope, I'm going. And when I approached Pastor Sarah and Clinton, well, first of all, they approached me first, Pastor Clinton did, and he said, this is what he said to me. Actually in 1980, a young lady walked up to me when I was going into the Assembly of God Church, and she said, God said to me, you'll be in full-time ministry in 4 years. So God considered working in the ministry full-time. Doing the work of the ministry, he considered that full-time in the ministry. And so Pastor Clinton approached me 4 years to the day. As a matter of fact, I take that back. She said 3 years. She came in 1981, and Pastor Clinton came in 1984. He approached me in 1984, and he said, we were down at Peace Hall, and I was doing something with sound at that point, and he said, Sarah and I see you in the ministry working full-time. And I wasn't ready for that. I just said, well, I'll think about it. You know how we do. But I knew. I knew I was supposed to. And so I jumped off. And when I approached them, they never told me what I'm going to make. Because you know what? It didn't matter to me at that point what I made, because it was about obeying. And when he told me, it wouldn't have mattered whether they said nothing or a lot, because either way, I was going to do it, because God had been dealing with me. So it didn't matter. The only thing that would matter is, you know, it would just mess with your flesh and your mind. If somebody said, Paquito, you go, ee, what am I going to do now? So it didn't matter to me. And then when I did find out, I had to take a deep breath. You know, it's like Jerry Seville when he said he packed up his house. The Lord told him to go work for Brother Copeland. He packed up his house, he sold everything, packed it up, put it in a trailer. His wife, they had no place to live. He had no guarantee he was going to get hired. And he said, the Lord told me to come and work for you. And he said, well, he said, we can't afford to pay you. You'll have to believe God for yourself. Try them apples on. And he had a wife, and I think he had a child at the time. So God, you know, looks down on people that will just step out and do things at his direction. And again, I am certainly not here to say that you should just step out recklessly, because that is not right either. What I am saying is, meditate on this. Meditate. What does the scripture say in Joshua 1:8? It says, let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Observe to do it. And then it says what? You'll make your way prosperous. So what I'm suggesting is, when the Holy Ghost says he wants us to increase, find out, meditate on these scriptures, meditate on the word of God, let faith arise, and let the Holy Spirit begin to lead you and tell you how to increase personally in your life. because everybody's different. Everybody needs to increase something differently. You may be saying, well, I'm already increased. That's fine. I'm not here to say what you should or shouldn't do. I'm just saying be open. Be open to be led. Be open to be used more. That's all we're saying today. Does everybody understand? Be open to be used more of God. And don't say, well, I'm already too busy. I got too much stuff. I can't do that. See, one thing Brother Hagin said that I go back and I listen to things of his, when he talked about faith for finances, faith and saying, he said, never talk lack. Never. Never talk lack. Never talk doubt. Never talk you can't. He said, always talk the word of God. You may not be in a position to do something, but don't talk lack. Don't say I can't. Don't say I don't have enough. Don't say I'm not smart enough. Don't say things that are death-filled. Say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Talk that you can, even when you, in the natural, can't. He may say, go get some education. Go get some training. Shadow this person. Find out what they're doing. That's what I did when I was, doing sound here. I would go sit with other engineers and people that were on recording trucks and different things. Just learn. Read books, because I had to put my hands to things here. I remember I didn't know it when Pastor Clinton was doing all these productions. The Holy Ghost would say, do this, this, and this. And I went, okay, I'll do that. And I started doing some things that now when I look back, this is what professionals do anyways. They use the word stems when they record. I was doing that back then. I didn't have any training. But the Holy Ghost will give you, he will do what? The life is the light that lighteth every man. So that light that we have in us is what you see the difference of and difference between countries that have accepted Christ and are lit by the light of God and those that aren't. They're in darkness. And it says their minds are darkened. So they can't see. They don't have the wisdom of God. They don't have the knowledge in some areas. God will give what? Creative ideas through that life that's in you. So don't ever say you can't. There could be within you, we've seen through the years, people that just come and assist in various areas, media or other areas in the ministry, and there's what I call a latent gift. It's a gift in them they didn't even know they had until they did what? Put their hands to the plow. They began to serve in certain areas. And it could be a gift that God has given them they didn't even know they had. But you've got to step out and do something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm certainly not suggesting you play the piano or sing if you can't. Get some training. You might be able to point and shoot a camera with some training, but please don't try to sing lip sync or something. But anyways, you get my point. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. I'm just sharing from my heart. There's so much we could share. We know there's so much. But turn to Psalm 112. and verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 112, 1, 2, and 3. And this, those that are watching online, you know, Facebook and YouTube, this and our website, this pertains whether you're in this church, you're a member of this church, come here or not. This is the body of Christ. God is wanting to increase us all because there's a great, great harvest that's coming in. And it's going to take all of us to do it, not just a few. But now listen to this, Psalm 112 and verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to read it in the King James and then a couple of other translations. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that doeth what? Delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, glory to God, and his righteousness endureth forever." So a lot of times, and I'm going to read this in the New Living, so we'll just make a point. "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commandments or commands. Their children," listen to this, "their children will be successful everywhere." Yes, glory to God. "Their children shall be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed." Now you see why we need to be busy and increase. Because this isn't just about us. This isn't just about our church. It's a generation of people that will be blessed because of us. And you may never see it, but the word says that when we do what? Fear him, respect him, honor him, and obey his commands. It says, their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Oh, yes, sir. That's why when we see, you know, participating and helping in children's church and nursery, when you do that, you may never see the results of what you've imparted into them, but it says they're going to be blessed. Now listen to the Amplified Classic. It says, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring," that's what I like this one. See, this can be natural, but this is also what? Spiritual. It says, "His spiritual offspring shall be what? Mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Prosperity and welfare are in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever." Don't listen to the lies of the devil. He does not want, he doesn't want the power of the gospel being imparted into the next generation, because he knows what the power of the word is. So whenever we have a chance, we need to do what? Increase our influence, increase our sharing the word with people, increase our influence with young people, whatever the age. Increase, bless them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. let me just share a scripture because I'm First John chapter 1 and verse 5, 6, and 7 in the Passion Translation. First John chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. It says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share, and it's still ringing in our ears. We now repeat his words to you. God is pure light. You will never find even a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. So it's going to require faith. What is it? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith and not by sight. That word walk means to live, to conduct our life. So we're going to have to, in order to increase, we're going to have to take steps of faith at God's direction. And that faith is going to come about how? By meditating in the Word of God. The Psalm 119:130, the entrance of his Word, giveth light, giveth revelation, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So once faith comes, God will begin to do what? Direct us. He'll show us the needs. He'll show us where. You know, I'll just share me personally. I'm becoming more sensitive to the compassion of God pulling me to do something where there's a need. I don't just volunteer to go do something unless, you know, I mean, there's a real need, then I'll just jump in. But when there's a pull, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to do it. Because it's God pulling me, nudging me, urging me. And what does faith do? Faith yields. Faith yields to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We're to walk in the light as he's in the light. Hallelujah. So this life that we're living, you know, is a life of service. It's a life of grace that we've been given. Just think about, you know, we'll read this in a minute, but 2 Corinthians 9:8, when we receive the offering. 2 Corinthians 9:8 in the King James, it said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you what? Always having all sufficiency in some things. All things. All things may abound to every good work. Some of these translations, I mean, the 20th century New Testament, it says, God has power to shower all kinds of blessings upon you, so that having under all circumstances and on all occasions all that you can need, you may be able to shower all kinds of benefits upon others. So the grace, the blessings that are showered upon us are to do what? Shower upon others. Not to keep. So let God begin. Get your heart open to increase. Increase in different areas of your mind, of your thinking. And you know, I'm challenging myself. I mean, I know there was a ministry that had an appeal. They're building something. And I said, I'm going to do that. I had a heart to sow into it. I'm sowing into the generations that will be blessed through that ministry because of what they're building. That's what the Hagen ministry did back in the 70s and 80s. They were sending containers of their product, their material, over to Nigeria. Nigeria's got some of the biggest churches in the world. And when Pastor Hagen goes over there, they treat him like Billy Graham. Because they said, when you hear the names, Odiepo and all of the different men and women of God that have got, they've got a setting in, I think it's near Abuja, where they've got a covered, canopied, I don't know, whatever you call it. It's a mile long and a half a mile wide. It's filled with people. And that came about through the sowing. And Brother Hagen would ask people, take your money and sow it into the ministry. We're sending containers of books to Nigeria. And it took years to do that and keep sowing and keep sowing, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word, sowing the word. And generations got blessed. And this is what God keeps putting in my heart. We need to increase. We need to increase. Give more away. Give more of our time. Give more of our money. Give more of our resources. Give more. Just give more. Because time is short. And he's knocking on our door. He's saying, I want to use you. So as I'm sharing, just be open. Let him lead you individually as to what you do and how you do it. But be open. And you'll know. You'll know what to do. Glory to God. I mean, I'm just sitting here. I see Pastor Enrique and Pastor Yessi. He was happy where he was. Right? He was happy where he was in Mexico, eating tacos. Right? Having a good time, you know, being a senior pastor, helping Pastor Tim, facilitating, you know, they had, what, 6 or 7 schools, running, busy. He said he was so busy. How many days? You said you were working, what, 6, 7 days a week, just running, 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 running. Running. But God saw his what he was doing, and he was in what? Preparation. And because he committed himself to do that, he's now prepared and developed to take the next step. And God said, I want to use you. Go home. Well, he, you know, you got to say, he had to pack up everything. Leave Mexico, bring his family, take everything, and come back home. That's a big deal. I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot that wouldn't have done it. You heard Pastor Sarah tell stories about ministers, and what did Pastor Sarah say? You all know that. You heard her say it when God said to her, you weren't my first choice. She said, That'll mess with you a little bit. You thinking you're all that. And he said, you weren't my first choice. Because God said, there were many that I asked to do exactly what you're doing, but they refused. I don't want to be the one to refuse. I want more, and I want to be obedient. Even if it, you know, God is never going to ask us something to decrease. God is never, it may look like that for you, like, oh my God, he wants me to give everything, I ain't got nothing left. If he's asking you to do it, God is going to increase that, and he's giving you a what? An opportunity to do something. He's given you an opportunity to sow whatever he's asking you to do. And this is what he keeps challenging me. Step out. When I knock, step out. Obey. Yeah, it's not easy on the flesh. But we're going to step out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope this stirs you, because I'm telling you, we're going to step out and go further, farther. Not because we're somebody, but because he's been watching. And we've been faithful. And he who's faithful with these earthly things, he'll give you what? Spiritual things. So he wants to give us more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. We bless you and thank you for challenging us, for nudging us to step out a little further and to go a little farther so that we can take this whole area for Christ in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's so many parts that people participate. You got a prayer team. You know, I'm thinking about some that are here. They're on the prayer call every morning, 6 days a week, Monday to Friday and Sunday. Monday to Friday, they have a prayer conf call, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every Monday to Friday. And on Sunday, they pray from 7 to 8. Every week, every week, every month, they've been doing this. This team has been doing that for a year. I'm telling you, God is working through them to accomplish some things. So whatever part you play, whatever facet, you know, the scripture says every joint supplieth, that it can be built up. And so we're all gonna participate. We're all gonna increase. Amen. Glory to God. Well, before we receive our offering, I know most here, I would say, know Christ. You know him as your Savior. But there may be one that's watching that doesn't. And God wants to come and live in you and to take up his abode, take up his residence. But he's already forgiven us of all of our sins. And he shed his blood, but he's asking that we receive him into our hearts as his Savior, that he can change us and wash us with his blood and take up residence and lead and guide us. So let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And I say with my mouth that he took my sins, and when sin was paid for, he was raised from the dead. I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me with your blood. Make something new of me. And I say now that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it, then Jesus did change you instantly. And you are a brand new person in Christ. He's come to take up residence. And so now we always say, let us know, get in contact with us, and most importantly, get connected with a good church that's teaching and sharing and helping you to grow into the workmanship that God has made you, to help develop you into a man or woman of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord.